produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to my Blog Talk Radio family. This is Regina Keenan coming to you from Lioness Talks, It's Not That Easy. Family, I pray that you all are being very cautious out there today. I pray that you're covering your family in prayer. I pray that you're covering yourselves and your family and following the instructions from our leadership to sanitize our hands, to wash our hands and our face, to keep ourselves a distance from people, because this coronavirus is serious. It's a deadly disease, a deadly virus that is spreading throughout the nation. And we have to be cautious. We have to be careful, and we have to stay prayed up, which is what leads me to talk about this today. The topic of my show today is, do you trust me? This is what God is saying to us right now. Do you trust me? I am your God. I am your Father. I am your everything. Are you putting your trust and your faith in me? Or are you putting your trust and faith in this coronavirus? Guys, I'm putting my faith and my trust in God, my Heavenly Father. So I'm going to start off with a scripture from Proverbs 3 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Now this is why God is saying, do you trust me? He wants to know, are we putting our trust and faith in him? Or are we putting our faith and our trust in man to tell us what to do through this coronavirus outbreak? I'm going to tell you the 7 steps to trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's 7 steps. Step 1 is, don't depend on you. We live in a world where trust must be enabled and seems to be in short supply, and that's so true. But Solomon, the famous king who wrote Proverbs, he knew that trust is exactly where we must start. Like I said in Proverbs 3 and 5, God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We have to abide by this word, guys, because if we don't, we're going to be scared. We're going to be running around here having fear in our heart. And as we all know, God says, we do not have the spirit of fear. Now, most of us have faced disappointments, which have taught us that we can only depend upon ourselves. But living the life God has called us to means unlearning that lesson. Instead, we're meant to rest in God's understanding. And that's where it comes to God saying, do you trust me? Do you really put your faith and your life in my hands and trust me that I will not harm you? I will not leave you nor forsake you, that I'll be there with you always. That's what God said to us. And we have to abide by his word. Right now, if we don't do anything else, we got to stay in God's word. Stay on our knees and pray. Asking God not just to cover our family and our friends, but to cover our nation. Because every single person that is on this earth is our brother and our sister. So we have to cover everyone. We may know in our minds that he possesses all wisdom. But oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. That is Romans 11:33. But you know, sometimes trusting God completely like that can be tough. And even for myself, it's because we live in our flesh. We can't help that. So each day we must cautiously lay aside our own plans and our expectations and surrender to his plans. Because what if we don't feel like we can trust him? That's where step two comes in. Cry out to God. Cry out to God and surrender yourself to him. Surrender to God. It begins with our lips and our thoughts. We need more than a commitment to depend on him. We need to cry out to him to show him that we depend on him, that we put our faith in him and our trust. Because we trust God. Do you trust me? Is what God is asking the nation today. Do you trust me? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. That's coming from Proverbs 3:6. Now, when we pray, we admit that his ways are higher than ours. We show that we're leaving our troubles and our burdens and our dreams in his capable hands, because that's what he wants us to do. In fact, the Bible promises that when we reach out to him in prayer, he hears us every morning and noon. I cry out in distress and he hears my voice. That's Psalms 55:17. Guys, you got to get up in the morning and cry out to God. Ask him to cover you. Cover your family. Cover our leaders, even our president. Cover the officials. Cover our preachers and pastors, our evangelists, our missionaries. Cover those that are praying for us. Cover those that have to protect us. Cover up our military. Those that are standing on the battlefield for us. They're fighting for us. They're fighting for our country. We have to trust them the way we trust God. But we trust God more than we trust anybody else. And that's what we're supposed to do. Because doing that, God is going to give us peace in our heart, peace in our mind. And we're not going to be running around afraid, running around scared that if we walk out the house, we're going to catch the coronavirus. And I'm guilty. Put my hands up. I'm guilty. I stay in the house a lot, but I went out the house to go to the store the other day. And I wrapped this scarf around my face. And I put on some gloves. I'm like, I'm not touching anything. I don't want nobody breathing on me. I don't want nobody getting close to me. Because I was afraid, because I've been in the house for a long time. I really don't go anywhere. I stay home. I keep my grandkids. And I work from home. But just knowing that I had to go out there, knowing that the coronavirus is out there spreading rampantly, killing people, you know, I had fear in my heart. Knowing that God didn't give me the spirit of fear, I walked out of his house. And honestly, not trusting him, not putting my trust and my faith in God. I'm going out scared that if somebody look at me or somebody get close to me, I'm going to catch the coronavirus. That's crazy. And like I said, I admit that I did it. Yes, I did. Because we all live in our flesh. But we have to remember to trust God. He's going to protect us. But he did give us sense. And he did make us wise. There are precautions that we have to take. You know, like when you come in the house, you got to wash your face. You got to wash your hands. When you're out there, don't be hugging nobody, touching nobody. And, you know, the normal things that we do on a daily basis. We have to be mindful right now and not do that. And it's okay. It's okay. Myself, I'm a germaphobe. So I don't do that too much anyway, unless I'm in church. And I guess, you know, churches now have had to stray away from that because we have to stay our distance. I forgot the words that they say, socially distant. I think that's what they said. Be socially distant or something. But anyway, guys, number three, it says run from evil. So much in the world can clutter up our relationship with God. John, the writer of the fourth gospel, describes them as the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of our lives. And that's what I mean when I said my flesh told me that I had to walk out of here scared, fearing that I was going to catch the coronavirus. 1 John 2:16. In other words, our blessings can easily become our stumbling blocks when we think of them as what we deserve or what we need to be happy. Instead, life makes best when we remember the true source of our blessings, God, and focus on the things that pleases him. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. That's Proverbs 3:7. We have to fear God and shun the devil because the devil can't hurt us. He can only do what God allows him to do. And God is only going to give the devil so much rope before he pull him back in. He's not going to let him harm his children. Sometimes the other way to live the life God wants us to live by separating ourselves from the bad influences that keep dragging us down. That works the best when we start pursuing something else in their place. It says, 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord, not of a pure heart. Again, that's 2 Timothy 2:22. Now, Proverbs 3:8 says, is that easy? It's not easy at all. Fleeing from the evil desires of the world that pull at us means spending a lot of time crying out to God and leaning on him, which is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to spend a lot of time crying out to God, but we get tangled up in our own world, including myself. I'm going to be transparent. You know, I get tangled up in the things that I'm doing. And I forget to cry out to God sometimes. Excuse me. Not that I forget. It's just that I get so wrapped up in my busy life, you know, that I don't spend that time with God that he wants me to. But our Creator promises to honor our commandment to him when we shun the evil. Now, Proverbs 3:8 says, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. See, when we pursue him, we find life, I mean abundant life. Running from evil and pursuing God doesn't come naturally. It really does not to most of us. Instead, it means we have to make a serious change. Now, our pastors, our leaders, you know, our bishops, it comes easy to them. But when we live in on the opposite side of the pulpit, it's not that easy for us. That's why we have to stay in God's face, because as long as we stay in his face and read his word and put our faith and trust in him, then it makes it a whole lot easier. It gets so much easier to trust God and know that he's not going to fail us. He's not going to let us down. He's not going to leave us, because his word says that. And God is not a man that should lie. He's not, by any means. Now, step two, and I'm probably going to do a part two, because I know I'm not going to have time to finish everything that I want to say. But step four says, put God first in your life. Oh, that's important right there, y'all. That is so very important. It's easiest to put ourselves first, right? But when something good happens, we want to congratulate ourselves with a reward. Like we did something so great. When something bad happens, we want to console ourselves or find someone else to blame. Guilty? In other words, we often find a me-centric starting place. Now, when it comes to money, the struggle is even harder. But Solomon, who had quite a bit of wealth himself, he knew that his money didn't belong to him. Our money doesn't belong to us, guys. It doesn't. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then our barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over new wine. That's Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. I'll read it one more time. Honor the Lord. With your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over the new wine. Now that's Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. He said, I will open up the windows and pour out more blessings than you have room to receive. He meant that. Just trust him. Have faith in him. And give him the time that he deserves, because he's God, and he deserves that. He gave his life for us. He deserves more than just that. Now, if we can trust God with the first of our wealth, we're truly showing how much we depend on him. Handing over the first part of our paycheck, it takes a huge amount of faith, though. But doing so means being God-centric. To get there, you have to make sure. Number five, check yourself by God's word. We have to make sure we check ourselves by God's word. That comes that faith, the belief, and the trust in God. Now, let's be honest. We aren't so good at elevating ourselves. We'll go to great lengths to excuse our behavior, our actions, and our sins. Guilty. Who needs a defense attorney when we can pretty much find a reason for any bad thing we do? The prophet Jeremiah captures this very well. He says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. We can all understand that. Let me read that again. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. That's such a true statement. And of course, it's coming from the word of God. So we know it's true. God's word is true. Now, if we're ever going to truly trust in God and flee evil, we have to know exactly where we stand. We have to find an objective measure that tells us the truth. And that truth comes from God and his word. Of course, that doesn't mean we'll always like what we see or how we see it. Proverbs 3 and 11 clearly says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. We'll read that again. Proverbs 3:11 says, my son, and I'm going to just add this, my son, my daughter, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. And I know we are all sons of God, but some people don't understand, you know, when you say son, that's why I said my son, my daughter. That's right. Sometimes it takes something bad to happen or seeing ourselves in a bad light before we finally admit that we need to change. And the more we're in the Bible, the more likely this is to happen. Psalms 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. My God, I got to read that again for sure. It says in Psalms 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. My God, y'all, God is a good God. He is an awesome God. See, when we have scripture planted firmly in our hearts, God will often use that to deal with us. What's the topic for today? Do you trust me? God is saying, do you really trust me? We have to think about that. Because we're so used to putting our faith and our trust in man. And God will sit back and he'll look at us. And he'll wait on us. Because he know we're coming home. He know that we're going to come back to him and come to our senses and say, why am I putting my faith and trust in man? Because man is not God. God is God. And every day I have to say, thank God for Jesus. Because had God not given us his son, laid his life on the cross for us, where would we be? We wouldn't be here. And so often and so many times, we are ungrateful. We are so ungrateful for things. I've heard people that are sitting in high places say, and I'm not going to call names, why should I trust him? He didn't give me the things that I got. And some of you that have heard this before may know who I'm talking about, but I'm going to remain nameless. The person says, I have to thank him for what I got. He didn't give this to me. I did this to my, I gave this to me through my hard work. Now, that's selfish. That's arrogant. That's even crazy to say that the things that you have, God didn't give you them. God didn't bless you with those things. How do we get anything? We get it from God. Anything that we do, anything that we're blessed with, it comes from God. It may have come through man, but it comes from God. And that's where we forget. We get so caught up in ourselves and our fleshly mind and body. And we get caught up in the world and all those material things that we get. We become ungrateful. We become ungrateful to God. And that is so very, so, so very disrespectful to God. You got to think about it. We wake up in the morning because he gave us breath. As the word says, he breathed in his nostril and gave him breath. God breathes in our nostril every morning that we wake up. So we should wake up with kindness. We should wake up with love. We should seek to have the agape love, the love that God has for us. The agape love. There's no greater love than God's love. God loves us unconditionally. In spite of us not trusting him, he loves us unconditionally. No matter what we do, no matter how crazy we act, he forgives us. God is a forgiving God, and we should be so grateful that he is, because some of the stupid things that we do, God should have turned his back on us. But we're his children. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, the way they did in Acts 2 and 28. I'm so grateful to God and everything that he has done for me, everything that he has done for my family. I'm so, so, so grateful for him and to him, because without him, I wouldn't be here. I would not have my kids. I would not have my grandkids. We have to sit back and think and analyze. Maybe if we, sometimes if we do a grateful and an ungrateful chart and put the things on there that we're grateful for, put the things on there that we're ungrateful for. And when you do, when you look at both of those charts, you're going to be like, ungrateful. How dare I be ungrateful for anything that God has done for me? Have I lost my mind? Am I crazy? You know, this man laid his life down for us. He gave up the ghost for us. And he didn't have to, because he didn't owe us anything. God owes us nothing, though. He really don't. But he breathes in us every day, every night. We wake up out of our sleep. We're able to sit on the side of the bed. Some people are not, but some people are. And I'm grateful that I can. And I thank God for it. I give him all the glory and honor and the praise for everything that he's done for me. And I ask God, anytime that I feel or I act ungrateful, God, please forgive me. Please forgive me for being selfish and only thinking of myself. And that's what we have to do, family. We have to thank God for every single moment of our lives. I can be driving, or I can be just sitting in the house or walking out somewhere. And I think about the goodness of God and all that he has done for me. I just throw my hands up. Sometimes I just break out into a happy dance. I just break out into a shout because I'm so grateful. Because if it was not for him, I would not be here. I actually should not be here. And not that he don't love me. I haven't always been saved. I haven't always been faithful. I haven't always been grateful. None of us have. We all have a story to tell. We all have a past. But in spite of all of that, God is saying to us, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I encourage you today, family, to go back and think about all the great things that God have done for you. Even think about your trials and tribulations. I look at my trials and tribulations as a blessing, because had I not gone through those trials and tribulations, I would not be able to bless someone else. I would not be able to tell my testimony. Our testimonies is just a test. It's just a test. We are to bless someone else with our testimony, because that test that God put us through is someone else that's going through that same test. It's someone else that's been through that same test. And they need someone to share their testimony with them to help them get through it and pass their tests. I love you, family. I'm so grateful to be able to share this word with you today. I pray that it resonates in your spirit. And I also pray that you're being careful. Again, I say, please be careful, be mindful. But no, God did not give us the spirit of fear, but he gave us wisdom and he gave us senses. So utilize your wisdom, utilize your five senses that God gave you, and just be careful. Be careful out there. Before you walk out that house, pray and ask God to cover you from head to toe. Family, be blessed. Again, this is Regina Keenan. Lioness Talks. It's not that easy. God bless you.
50-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning. You're hearing the melodic tones of the song Tuesday Morning, and that means you're right on time as With Your Success in Mind hits the airwaves. Coast to coast and around the world, I'm 150% confident that you're going to enjoy today's conversation with my sister friend and very special guest, Maria Dowd. She's a dynamic motivational speaker and impassioned catalyst for women's empowerment. And she is also the founder of My Amazing Life. No matter where you are in life or where you live, it is your right and within your control to live your freedom every day. I am your host, Cheryl Cormier, live in Houston, Texas, and I want to welcome you to today's program, made possible because of two truly remarkable ladies, our show producer, Kyla Padgett, CEO and founder of Finding My Way Radio Network, USA World, and Josie Hopkins, CEO and founder of Josie's Inspiration Radio Network, USA World. It's a blessing to be a part of their vision to reach and empower God's people around the world. First, I want to get right into today's conversation with our guest, Maria Dowd. Maria has authored three inspirational books, Journey to Empowerment, Journey to My Brother's Soul, and Journey to a Blissful Life, which was featured in Essence Magazine as one of the best books on personal renewal. Maria is also a contributing author to Delayed But Not Denied, Book 2, and the upcoming Book 3. I've known Maria for 18, 19 years now, and as someone who likes to quietly observe others, there's a lot to admire about this incredible woman. I've always admired her confidence and her presence. When all the black women I knew were still perming and straightening their hair, Maria boldly wore her glory crown in a bounty of loose, natural curls, and she is just as creative. Proudly displayed in my home to this day is one of her very first collage artwork pieces. I know Maria to be a woman of vision and integrity, and I give her credit for creating the blueprint for the women's empowerment movement that is so prolific today. You can't even read a blog or go on social media without seeing multiple announcements about an upcoming conference, workshop, or retreat. But back then, in the early 2000s, there was African American Women on Tour. AWOT was an empowerment conference she toured with for over 13 years, and it garnered the support of such mega corporations as Bank of America, Chrysler, JCPenney's, ExxonMobil, and Kellogg. AWOT touched the lives of over 29,000 women worldwide by embracing, fueling, and celebrating their strengths, their endurance, and their brilliance. Hundreds, if not thousands, of careers and companies were launched because of the platform that this dynamic sister provided. So let's talk all about it. Good morning, sister friend Maria. Thank you for joining the conversation.
Good morning. That was the most amazing introduction, I promise you, that I've ever had my entire life. Thank you so much.
I am so excited to have you on here. I know everybody's going to be blessed through this conversation. And, you know, before we get to your newest brain trust, let's start with AWOT, African American Women on Tour, because that's where I met you.
Yes.
You did it best, and you did it before anyone else, and you virtually created that blueprint that people are still following today. Mm-hmm. What was your inspiration for AWOT?
I would say that my inspiration was Essence Magazine. The idea came about when I was under contract and on tour with Essence many, many years ago. They were kind of ramping up for their 20th, if you can believe this, 20th anniversary of their of Essence. At that time, this is a while ago, And they did, Essence was sponsoring and hosting a series of shopping mall promotions around the country, model searches, and so on. And I was a part of that crew. And that was really my first time witnessing women, Black women, get really like beyond excited about something that was perhaps outside of church, you know, or right. outside of, you know, our home life, but get that excited about seeing and witnessing something that was for, about, of Black women. And I, as I witnessed this from city to city to city, I came home to my little hometown of San Diego at the time, and with what, maybe 3 or 4% African-American population, most of which were transplants from someplace else because people got there by way of, typically by way of the military. And I wanted to produce, to create and produce an empowerment conference for Black women and, you know, to provide this really safe space for women to come. And I would always say, let our hair out, because that's what it does best.
Right.
Let our hair out, and to get empowered, to get, to be loved on, to, you know, grow sisterhood, to learn, to empower themselves, to have, you know, to have so many takeaways, just a whole, you know, bag full of takeaways to take back home to their families, to take back home into their careers, to their money situations, to their families, you know, to their love relationships, and so on. And so that was the inspiration, Essence Magazine.
My goodness, I tell you. And you actually did that and so much more. I know you gave many small companies and entrepreneurs that platform to connect with a virtually untapped market, this market of Black women who were seeking, who were hungry for that sense of empowerment and fulfilling. And I can personally attest to the significant role you played in one company, and that was Warm Spirit. As the former vice president of business development, I wanted to just take a moment in this call to say thank you for profoundly connecting us with our ideal woman. And that really propelled us to great success. It would not have happened without many people, but most especially you. And as the story of Warm Spirit is told, I pray that you will continue to be prominently mentioned as part of that company's amazing story.
Well, thank you for the acknowledgement. I really appreciate that. You know, that means everything. That really means everything. So thank you very much for that, Cheryl.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I mean, that was a wonderful incubator for the growth that we experience. But one of the things that I saw, your bio goes on to talk about the dramatic turn your life took after a divorce in 2012. And it says that it served as a light bulb moment. It sounds to me like that became the catalyst for your new empowerment program, My Amazing Life. You want to tell us a little bit more about that?
I will. Yes. So after I was married for 8 years, in this marriage, I should say this is my second marriage. But in this marriage, my second one, I was married for 8 years. And I was sitting in the audience. I was actually at a women's empowerment event. And so a lot of the women who were present at that event had, you know, they knew about African American Women on Tour. And I sat in that chair and I just witnessed how women were just, you know, standing on their chairs and tables and hooping and hollering and you know, really being inspired and motivated and pumped up in that moment. And I just sat back. It was the saddest moment for me because I said this used to be me. You know, this was my stomping ground, you know.
Right.
And I had came to realize that I was actually really, and this is not even realizing, this is kind of being in denial, that I was basically kind of in a toxic relationship, and which I felt I embraced, wrap my own self around, you know, having to walk on eggshells and to play it safe and to play small,
right,
so that I could stay safe, you know, emotionally and everything in that relationship. And so that was my impetus. And I shut my, you know, I literally got up from my seat after that experience, and because I was feeling envy, I was feeling all kinds of weird, unusual, crazy emotions that I typically don't. You know, I'm the one that's proud to see people excelling and doing well and everything. I said, oh, I felt envy. And I felt sadness. And I got up and I went to the bathroom and just started bawling, started crying. And I then said, okay, I'm getting myself together, you know, cleaning my little makeup here. When you step outside, you need to look for this particular person who was the, you know, who was the catalyst for getting me there at that event. Look for her and just find out, how can I be a part of this circle? How can I get reengaged with women and empowerment and all that, so that I could heal myself and to free myself and liberate myself. And so I walked out the door, and literally, I mean, God answered my prayer. I promise you, I walked out the door, and the woman that I needed to see was literally standing maybe 10 feet away. Wow. And this is in a hotel, so she could have been anywhere, but she was literally standing 10 feet away. And I waited for her to finish the conversation, and I said, I need to somehow be a part of this. I don't know how. I know that the place where I want to be is where all those women who are talking about, who invested $30,000-$40,000 in this program. I want to be a part of that, but well, I only have like $40 in my checking account right now. So how do I do this? And, you know, and she said, well, let me find out and let me ask the questions, because I know there are opportunities and there are ways to do that. And she made it, she was the impetus for making that happen and for me getting back in that circle. And it saved my life inside that space, because I was just around other women who were empowered and loving and wise and who walked the walk and talked the talk and all those things. I just need to be fed. And at the time, then that's when, you know, my husband and I started separating from, you know, our joint cohabitation. And it was that was the journey that started this whole impetus to creating my amazing life. Yes. And so, yeah. And so that's how it happened. And so the biggest lesson in that moment is just not fearing asking for what you want. You know, what is your big ask? What is it that you need? Ask for it. You know, because the worst case scenario is that somebody's going to say no, and that's okay too, because no does not necessarily mean never. It just means not now. And I learned that lesson, but it happened. I asked for what, yeah. So that was the impetus, and that's what got me on my journey to, you know, my amazing life.
Maria, you touched on so many wonderful things in what you just shared, and I think a lot of women, you know, Black women, white women, women around the world, find ourselves in situations where we play it small, we dumb it down, we compromise who we are, and lose ourselves in really accommodating the people that are around us. If you have one or two things, what would you tell someone who might find themselves in that situation to where it would help them be able to take that first step to really recover who they are?
That's a very good question. I would say that one of the first steps is to pay attention to your trusted advisors and people who have good insight, and they kind of are enlightened listeners and observers, because oftentimes, even if you are kind of blindsided or you just refuse to see, first of all, it's there. You know, sometimes the situations that we get ourselves to, all the signs are there on the front end. We choose to ignore them. But then there are oftentimes trusted advisors and kind of little angels around you who see things that you refuse to see or can't see. And so I would say, you know, just stop and listen and listen for that grain of truth, mm-hmm. in what they're saying, and rather than just shutting down or shutting them out. And then the other thing is, oftentimes we crawl into these little shells because we think we're the only ones experiencing something. We think that no one cares, or we think that no one will listen, no one will believe you. You know, we talk ourselves into these spaces of disempowerment and darkness when there's just so much help and support and willingness to help pull you out of it, and to know that you're just never by yourself. You're really and truly never by. I mean, there is always someone in your circle or in a circle that's connected to another circle who has experienced what you've experienced and understand it, and can provide coaching and mentoring and wisdom and advice to help you to transition out of whatever that situation that you're in that's disempowering and potentially even dangerous for women and children.
Right. Absolutely. So, I mean, essentially, it's don't cloister yourself away and separate yourself. Really seek out those lifelines that you might have that you may not even know that you have this right there in your immediate circle.
Exactly. And then sometimes, you know, and some, you know, and even in as quote unquote liberal as our society is here in the U.S., I said it quote unquote, you know, other societies are even less liberal and less kind of open to hearing women and receiving what they're trying to say, their cries for help or their cries for support, a request for support. And so sometimes you have to step outside of your immediate family or your immediate circle, because oftentimes, you know, the culture of that circle, that situation is kind of supported of just being quiet and taking it in and you know, it'll get better later or whatever, and expand your circle to include particularly women that are standing their ground. They are not, they're walking in a space of fearlessness and walking in faith and walking in this amazing light, and you want to somehow be a part of that, whether it's studying her works, you know, of empowerment, or being in some kind of support groups, whatever that might be, to find the light, to find the courage, to find the words to express what it is that you're experiencing that is not serving you, and then to and create a strategy for moving out of it.
Right, absolutely. And I know one of your newest project is really all about serving others and providing that platform and that community for people. So can you tell us a little bit about My Amazing Life and how people might become a part of it and the components of it?
Yes. Well, let me just give you a little bit of background on how it even got started, because I was moving into this kind of gray space, because I just didn't know after my divorce, and, you know, and he was, you know, while, you know, there were many, many good times that we had, and he was a great provider and very open-hearted, you know, there was just some emotional things, instabilities that we, you know, had to mesh through. And I didn't realize just really the impact that it had on me until after we were separate, after we were living in separate households. And so by this time I'm in, you know, well into my 50s, and it's like, what am I going to do next? You know, the world has evolved and changed, and I'm keeping up with it is, you know, definitely, but, you know, it's a different world and a different, you know, what am I going to do next? You know, I consider myself like this quintessential marketer, but I couldn't tell you how to market, you know, effectively on social media, you know, I had to have help, you know, and so I shut myself down. It was holiday season, and I just went quiet and went into a room, and I said, let me just take a really honest look at where my breakdowns are, where my challenges are, reality check, and then where are my opportunities? What is it that I really want? What's my voice? Maybe you're getting your voice back now. What is it that you want to say? What is it that you want to do? And I started mapping my life out. I took every single area, my emotions, my wellness, my money, my family, my love, my spirituality, my experiences, all those things, and created. You know, some goals, my first round of goals, and created some declarations, some clear declarations of what I was going to, how, what kind of light and spirit I was going to walk in versus which path I was not ever going to take again. And I wrote all that out. I even have a description of the man in my life, who, what I'm looking for and what I want and need. And my last words are, and who will treat me like the queen that I am.
Amen.
And that experience, I said, you know, this has helped me. This is literally, I pulled myself out of this darkness, and I can take this and create an e-course, create a coursework around it to help women walk the same journey of self-discovery, of self-awareness, of self-love, of incorporating more self-care into our lives to, you know, become more of an activist and an advocate for our own selves, as well as for our families and for our children. And so that's how I came to develop the course called My Amazing Life Map, because the finished product, but you're never finished, because it becomes this working blueprint for your life.
Right.
It's your guidepost, it's your blueprint, it's your map for getting from point A to point Z. and what it takes and all the coaching and support and accountability and all the things and getting loved on and celebrating and all that stuff is incorporated into this program that I created called My Amazing Life Map.
Wow, that is truly the embodiment of taking your mess and making it your message, right?
Exactly. And when I say life, that's L-Y-F-E, live your freedom every day.
Right, absolutely. And I know that the website, and we'll give it again, everybody, that website is www.myamazinglifelyfe.com. So I know, Maria, when I've gone on and I've looked at your site and I've kind of read through the materials and things, I see that you have a place for people to become subscribers and also affiliates. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, ma'am, I can. So to subscribe, it gets you into our you know, circle, and you get our blog announcements and, you know, just different articles and things that you can really take and, you know, pull from it what you know, what you need and what you want and discard the rest of it. But it's some really, really good content that you get. But also, we have a community on Facebook called Life Lifts, L-Y-F-E, Lifts, L-I-F-T-S. And basically, it's a place where we just come. It's a really safe place to come and to, it's a private group, by the way, and to really be heard and to share. And like one of the big questions that we asked, that I asked for April, I said, I'll start asking this every month. What is your big ask? ASK, what is the big thing that you want to ask for today? And it may be prayer, it may be support, it may be leads, maybe references, whatever that might be. Let's just start connecting. Let's start collaborating. Let's start loving on one another so that we can create these win-win-wins within our lives, you know, both within our personal lives, but in our professional lives, our financial lives, our love lives, and so on. And so by subscribing, you get involved in that, but then you can also, of course, invest in the course. You can, there's a lot of different things, and we have a gift that you can sign up for as well, that which is very powerful and useful for a lot of people.
Okay, and I know you wanted to share a little bit more about that. Is that the resource that you were telling me about?
Yes. Yes, it is. It is the we created. One of the things that I made a commitment to myself for was to incorporate more self-care into my life and to push back and take time out to focus on me and to grow me, to pamper me, to love on me, and the operative word is me in all of this, and care for me. And I want everybody who's listening to say, me, I'm important. I have a voice. I have a need. I have needs. I have desires. I have all these things. So the self-care guide is 365 ideas. No excuses, because they range anywhere from just lighting candles and saying a prayer to, you know, to planning a retreat in a foreign country, you know, and everything in between. And so there's nothing that I missed in that. And you know, in that guide that you can just pick and choose one little item, two little items, three, four, you know, here and there to, or do it with other sister friends, mm-hmm. to really focus on relieving that stress, to letting it go, to having whatever work done on you that's being called for. That might be massage, that might be prayer, it may be meditation, it might be reading a self-help book, it might be taking My Amazing Life Map course, it might be any number of those things that would help to soothe and to heal and to, you know, revitalize yourself and re-energize ourselves so we can get back into our families and back into our relationships, back into our work worlds, and be, you know, and live our very best life possible.
That's amazing, because, you know, so often we just kind of lose ourselves in everything else, mm-hmm. and we don't invest in taking care of ourselves. So I think that it's the 365-day self-care guide.
Yeah, so I can give you the link for it, or the link for it is https://, so it's like you would if you're going to a website, myamazinglifelyfe.com. so it's the same website, myamazinglifelyfe.com/self-self-dash care, C-A-R-E dash guide, G-U-I-D-E.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I'll post that as a reminder for everyone so that you have access to be able to get that. And don't forget, the website is myamazinglife.com. And so we want to make sure that everybody, look, if you want to be connected with a dynamic community and learn more, hear more, and just be a part of this amazing movement, this 2.0 movement for Maria Dowd. You'll want to go out there and go to www.myamazinglife.com. So there you have it, everybody. Maria Dowd, one dynamic woman. And if you remember these words from our last guest that we had on, Mr. Ty Gray L, it said, if one woman made up her mind to no matter what be kind, no matter what others might put her through, the strength of that woman's resolve would all our problems solve. And just think what a million women like that can do. Thank you so much, Maria, for being my special guest on today's call.
And I am so honored and blessed to be a part of this. Thank you so much. And I admire the work that you're doing, Cheryl, and keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get started on my own self-care guy.
Very good.
Well, everybody, that's about all of the time we have for today. As a resonating thought to bless our souls, I wanted to end today by sharing a few words to a song that I was introduced to just last week. It's a short film, actually, entitled The God Who Sees, featuring Nicole Mullen, who has the voice, I tell you, of an angel. You can learn more and get more of the full experience by going to godwhosees.com. It was filmed in Israel as Nicole journeys throughout the Holy Land, recounting the stories of Ruth and David during their wilderness experiences, and ending with Mary Magdalene in Jerusalem at the tomb of the risen Savior, Jesus. Here's the story of Hagar, where the journey begins. Hagar was a single mother. She was abandoned by the family she belonged to. There in the wilderness with her son, alone with very little provision. She was wondering, she was questioning, does anyone care? She's crying in the desert. She's lost in her despair. She thinks nobody loves her. Hagar thinks nobody's there. But God says, I will be a ring of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. And the power of my presence will bring her to her knees, and I will lift her up again, for I am the God who sees. Then he speaks in a gentle whisper, and he softly calls her name. She feels his arms enfold her as he holds her, and she'll never be the same. Because I'm the God who never changes, and my promises are true. And when this world deserts you, this is what I'll do. I'll be a ring of fire around you, and I will be the glory in your midst. And the power of my presence will bring you to your knees, and I will lift you up again, for I'm the God who sees. I, the God who sees. My goodness, how powerful are those assurances? So no matter what we're going through, no matter what valley or desert we may find ourselves in today or maybe at some point in the future, we can always know that we're never, ever alone. God is always there. He's the God who sees. As we take comfort in that knowledge, we're signing off as you listen to the musical stylings of saxophonist Tom Braxton. The song is Tuesday Mornings from his album Next Chapter. You can learn more about his complete body of work on tombraxton.com or follow him on Facebook at Tom Braxton Music. Mark your calendar for upcoming shows and plan to tune in, and please invite your friends. We're here every other Tuesday, and you will receive words of encouragement, empowerment, inspiration, pearls of wisdom, and tools to help you navigate through your journey for physical, spiritual, and entrepreneurial success. This has been your host, Cheryl Cormier, with the fabulous Maria Dowd. Everything shared and everything offered is done with your success in mind.